You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
It's great to be back. It was great to be there. We worshipped in Spanish for 10 days, so it's nice to understand a little bit more about what we're singing about when we come back here. It's about £100 a month if anybody's interested and want to start saving. And go with a good heart, go with an open heart, and that can be a life-changing experience. And I know quite a number have been from here. So speak to others and, give it to the Lord. Let's pray, and then I'm going to share a word. Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the worship we were able to bring to you this morning. Thank you for souls giving their lives to you. And Lord, I pray, as I share this word, help us to receive, help us to understand, help us to leave this place changed because of your love, your goodness, and your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jonathan, can you just stick the heading up, please? Oh, Craig, these aren't working. Is that, like, not possible? What's up there? So I'm talking, it's a second talk on the blood of Jesus shed from his wounded body. You may remember last week, thank you, Craig, just turn the switch on, it helps, doesn't it? You remember that last month we shared, first of all, and for the next 6 months on the Communion Sunday, we just wanted to share an aspect of the blood of Jesus and what that can mean for us. So today we're looking at the second shedding of Jesus' blood. And once again, I really want to acknowledge Pastor Caesar as the one who's brought so much revelation regarding what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It is, in fact, one of his favorite subjects. And I have to say, there's still more revelation I need, maybe we need as well. But as I mentioned the other day, the song which Marion talked about, This Is How We Fight Our Battles, that was actually written in the context of teaching on the power of the blood of Jesus. And if you listen to one of the versions, mixed into the refrain, there's this line, nothing is as strong as your blood. And that's what I want us to get hold of today. Nothing is as strong as the blood of Jesus. So again, we're going to look at scripture, and we're going to ask God for revelation to understand just one drop of Jesus' blood can change everything. As we apply his blood over our lives, we win our battles. Oh, I haven't got a clicker. When I do that, Jonathan, please, next slide. So Peter writes, For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold which eventually perishes. Thank you, Leonie. Thanks very much. But the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb, was sacrificed for us. This was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this before the foundation of the earth was laid. The cost of our ransom, our redemption, was the shedding of Jesus' blood. The shedding of Jesus' blood is powerful enough to deal with all the baggage and emptiness of life, which has been handed down through our family lines. All curses, all generational sin, all sickness and addictions can be dealt with by the precious blood of Jesus. No wonder we celebrate communion. Because as we celebrate communion, we celebrate the incredible victory Jesus won on the cross. Yes, a victory that reconciles us back to God, but healed and whole. Now, last month we looked at the application of Jesus' blood shed at Gethsemane. And as he prayed, he sweat drops of blood. We saw that through his blood shed there in Gethsemane, Jesus came to a place of complete obedience. Some of you might be going through the Bible in a year, and Nicky Gumbel's been talking about this. Not my will, but yours be done. And just as Jesus came to that place and shed his blood in that anguish, so it enables us also to apply that to our lives. Obedience to God, obedience to Scripture, obedience to his calling on our lives is possible because of the blood shed by Jesus at Gethsemane. It was a high price for Jesus, and it may be a high price for us, but it is possible and expected. And I want to remind you, fruitfulness comes from our obedience. In fact, while we were in Bogota last week, Pastor Fernando, he does these brilliant monologues. And he did one on the life of Abraham. And I just wrote in my notes, as he was just illustrating really the incredible obedience of Abraham, as not just believing for a son, but receiving the son, and then having to take him up the mountain to kill his son. And he was prepared to do it, and Fernando was just illustrating this. And I wrote in my notes, obedience was tested, but obedience released the blessing. And that is true. That's why obedience is so, so important to us. Obedience to God. Yes, it will get tested, but it releases blessing. And if you think of the story of Abraham, you know, the multitudes which came through his obedience. The other area conquered at Bethsemane was betrayal. We touched on that. Jesus had been betrayed by a good friend. And soon everyone else would desert him too. And the blood Jesus shed at Gethsemane brought healing, or can bring healing, from the hurts and wounds of betrayal, of divorce, of broken relationships. As we release forgiveness and apply the blood of Jesus, we can receive his healing and be whole. Hallelujah. But today we're going to look at the blood shed from his wounded body. I want to quote Isaiah from the New American Standard. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Wow. New Living Translation just says that last bit this way. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. In preparing the talk today, I wanted to show a little clip from The Passion of Christ. I just decided it's too real for a Sunday morning. I hope a picture isn't going to offend anybody. But the Roman punishment of scourging was really brutal. Isaiah prophesies, by his scourging we are healed. One source tells us the Roman scourging was one of the most feared of all punishments. It was a form of brutal, inhumane punishment generally executed by Roman soldiers using the most dreaded instrument of the time, called a flagrum. The flagrum used in a scourging was a whip consisting of three or more leather tails that had small metal balls or sheep bones at the end of each tail. Jesus would have been stripped naked and shackled by his wrists to a low column so that he would be in a bent over position. One or more soldiers would be assigned to deliver the blows from the flagrum. Standing beside the victim, he would strike in an arc-like fashion across the exposed back. The weight of the metal or bone objects at the ends of the leather thongs would carry them to the front of the body, as well as to the back and arms, the shoulders, arms and legs, down to and including the calves. The bits of metal would dig deep into the flesh, ripping small blood vessels, nerves, muscle, and skin. We just read and they scourge Jesus, but I tell you, that was almost on par what was to follow. And many died from the scourging. The result was terrible. It would have included a back shredded to pieces, inner organs exposed, ribs broken, and much blood loss. Pilate, he had hoped that if he afflicted this on Jesus, it would satisfy the cries of the Jewish leaders. But even after the scourging, they said, no, crucify, crucify, crucify him. And by the time they had finished scourging Jesus, he would have been so weak and in such indescribable pain, it's not at all surprising he was unable to carry the crossbar and that he died relatively quickly on the cross after going such treatment. And Jesus would have been aware of this punishment. No wonder in Gethsemane he prayed, Father, if there's any other way. Three times, Father, if there's any other way. Nevertheless, not your will, but mine be done. But the Bible tells us, by his stripes or by his scourging, we're healed. 1 Peter, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. I came this morning to tell you that because of the death of Jesus on the cross and because of the scourging he received, he paid the price for our redemption. Dealing with our sins, dealing with our separation, paying the price for our complete redemption. I actually believe that the focus is mainly spiritual. Isaiah talks about Jesus being pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. But he also adds, and by his scourging, we are healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And as I was studying in preparation, I came across a number of theologians who felt healing was not included in what Jesus accomplished at the cross. And although I agree, and I say again, physical healing may not have been the main focus, I've got to say, I find it very, very hard to exclude healing from what Jesus accomplished based on Scripture. And although the passages definitely have more of a spiritual emphasis, it really does seem to include physical healing as well, included in the victory which Jesus won at the cross, when his body was so terribly beaten and lacerated. My problem isn't with Scripture, my problem is with experience. Why don't we see more? And that's a challenge, and that's the question for us. But then I have to think, I don't want my understanding of the Word of God, I don't want to bring it down to my experience so that it fits neatly with what I've experienced in my life. But much more, I want to bring my experience up to what I believe the Word of God teaches. And I think that's where we need to be as a church. We've always got to be going for more. Everyone that came to Jesus, he healed. Everyone that came to Jesus that needed a deliverance, he delivered. And I believe God wants us to do the same. In fact, when Matthew saw this, it says in Matthew, have I got it here? That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. He healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Matthew interprets the prophecy that we read earlier on as the reason for physical healing and the reason that Jesus was doing what he was doing. And that was before the cross. But the physical demonstration of healing and deliverance reminded Matthew of what Isaiah had prophesied. Peter tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so we might die to sins, live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Amen. Amen. Andrew Womack, some of you know him. Andrew Womack writes, Yeah, that's just a reminder to what. That's not a picture of Andrew Womack. That's just a reminder of what I'm going to read in a moment or two. This is what Andrew Womack writes. He says, "My friend, he was thinking of you when the soldiers tied him to the scourging post. As they raised their whips, he said, 'Let it all come on me.' But what came on him was not just the whip stripping the flesh off his bare back, but your sicknesses and diseases. Each time he was whipped," and I've changed some of the things here, "every form of sickness and disease, including arthritis, cancer, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, and depression came upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Today," he goes on, "healing is your right because Jesus has paid the price for your healing. So if the devil says you cannot be healed, just declare, 'Jesus has paid for my healing. Disease has no right to be in my body. I am healed in Jesus' name.' Every curse of sickness that was supposed to fall on you fell on Jesus instead. He bore every one of those stripes so that you can walk in divine health all the days of your life. The price has been paid so that you can rise up and get out of your bed of affliction." When I read that, amen. When I read that, I thought, "Lord, I'm not going to preach from my own experience. I want to preach what you accomplished on the cross. And I want my experience to be more what Andrew Womack is teaching there. That we begin to receive the healing that God's brought for us, and we live in the health which he died for us to experience." So when Jesus was crucified and scourged, he paid the price for our redemption. He bought our freedom. We need to ask the Lord to help us to see, to help us to believe, Jesus' death on the cross was enough to secure assurance of eternal life. How can three people give their lives to Jesus this morning because of what he's done on the cross? He paid the price. We will never make ourselves good enough for heaven. That's why it's impossible for anybody to go to heaven except through Jesus. And the only way we go through is because he paid the price, the curse, the judgment. He took the sin on his back, on his body, and he gave us his righteousness that we can go to heaven healed and holy. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. But it's not just for eternal life. It's abundant life now that he wants us to enjoy. Pastor Caesar writes, "I want to remind you that our redemption in Christ Jesus is complete. It includes every area of your life, and it's not simply limited to salvation. You have no reason to accept any kind of slavery because the blood that was shed from Jesus' wounded body is the full price for your redemption." Hallelujah. That includes spiritual, physical, even financial redemption. The opposite, separation from God, sickness, poverty, all part of the curse. But Jesus died to set us free from the effects of the curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Quentin talks about the church eradicating poverty, I believe that's a great commission for us to do. Among us here, and then we begin to spread it out further too, because Jesus died to set us free from poverty, that we might be prosperous, not to buy planes and have houses with swimming pools and all that sort of stuff necessarily, but to bless those which come among us and we can give away to others too. Hallelujah. So in closing, how do we apply? How do we receive? How do we appropriate this victory Jesus won for us? One of the ways is by communion, actually, as we take that in faith, as we declare what Jesus accomplished through his death. Every time we take the bread and the wine, we can receive healing from Jesus. We can receive forgiveness from Jesus. But I want to say we apply the blood of Jesus by making our own confession of faith. Faith is so key in this. When the children of Israel were told by an angel of death an angel of death would be coming over. The only way they could be saved was by the father of the house. He was to kill a lamb, and with hyssop he was to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel overhead. And everybody that was in that house was protected from the angel of death. Hallelujah. Hyssop talks of repentance, actually. So repentance is needed. But as they put the blood on that house, on those lintels there, on that doorway, I actually wanted to have a doorway. I'm going to talk to my friend Josh Gardner sometime, see if we can have a doorway up here. And I want to illustrate, you know, as we come through that doorway, as we come through the application of the blood of Jesus, there's protection. There's protection from the enemy because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So how do we apply? What does that application of the blood mean? It's our confession. It's our words of faith. And as we make those words of confession of faith, it's like us applying the blood of Jesus over our lives too. In a moment or two, I want us to close, and we're going to close with five confessions of faith. We'll say it out loud together. And as we believe this, and as we speak these out in faith, I believe protection comes over our lives. We apply the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed from Jesus' wounded body. The third confession which we make actually talks about us walking in the light. It talks about we have fellowship with one another. It's the only one that has a connection with each other there. But it's as we walk in the light, as we're right with each other, as we're open, as we're honest with each other, that's a prerequisite too for us receiving the protection that Jesus wants to bring us. So can we stand together? Let's believe. I don't know your situations. Some of you might be sick. Let's believe for healing. We'll have prayer afterwards as well. But let's believe for healing. Some of you might be struggling financially. There's principles which we need to follow. But let's believe for financial provision. Let's believe God wants to turn that round from poverty to prosperity. Some of you may be struggling with depression. You may be feeling sad, feeling low, things don't seem right in your life. Well, let's believe that God can take that. Jesus can take that. Jesus has already taken it. As we apply the blood of Jesus, we receive healing, emotional healing too. Just one drop of Jesus' blood is powerful enough to change your life forever. Amen. So I'd like us in closing. Yeah, thanks, Richard. We could just read these out. They're all based on scripture. I can give you the fuller versions at another time if you want to. But can we just read these out together? And as we're doing this, do you know what you're doing? You're putting the blood on those lintels of your body, of your life. You're putting the blood over you. And we're applying the blood of Jesus into our lives. So with confidence, with faith. Lord, today, I apply just one drop of the blood that was shed from your wounded body. And I declare that by the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed from the power of the enemy. Satan has nothing on me because I have been brought into the kingdom of Jesus. I declare that by the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven, and the arguments that stood against me have been cancelled at the cross of Calvary. I declare that because I walk in the light and in fellowship with other believers, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me now and continuously from all sin. I declare that by the blood of Jesus, I am justified, and God sees me as though I had never sinned. I declare that by the blood of the Jesus, I am sanctified and set apart for God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's before the Lord, let's thank him for the victory which he won. Yes, Lord. And Lord, as we go from this place, I want to pray, Lord, that you help us to apply the blood of Jesus over our lives. that we can live in the victory which you've won for us, that we can receive the healings which you died for, that we can receive the forgiveness of sin, which is our right, Lord, that we can be justified just as if we'd never sinned and receive that gift of righteousness. Lord, I want to pray, help us to live in faith, help us to live in the victory that you won on the cross of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.